We continue with our special program focusing on Qurbani and various aspects with regards to Qurbani. And this is obviously part of the special acts of worship that are carried out in this time of the year, Hajj and Qurbani. These are two actions that is carried out as special forms of worship during this time of the year. Joining me in the studio is Brother Mahmoud Muhammad Boulay, who's been synonymous with the name of Sanha. He's been at Sanha for a number of years, Sanha's chief inspector, and also serving on the National Muslim Prison Board, coordinator and member of Jamiatul Ulama South Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and to the listeners.
Jazakumullah khair. Last week's discussion, some interesting information that was shared together with the important Masail, and we look forward to moving forth with the discussion, inshallah.
Inshallah.
When we look at the aspect of treatment of animals in one's possession, what are the various aspects that one needs to consider?
Nahmadun salli ala Rasulil Kareem amma ba'd. Jazakumullah for allowing us to participate in your program, the Radio Islam. Allah bless all of you, all your staff and your family for this world and the year after, inshallah.
Ameen.
Okay, last week we touched on whom Qurbani is wajib, what species are permissible for Qurbani, the age of the animals, how many shares in an animal, how to determine the age of an animal. In that point, Mufti, I want to ask you, we were discussing it when we were reading the Isha after my program last week. And we were talking about how do you gauge if an animal is blind,
yes,
a sheep is blind. I spoke to one of the veterinarians in our abattoirs, and he told me that besides the other points that you people mentioned that day, in your program on Sunday, last week Sunday, that is, 2 weeks ago, you were saying that if you open the eye of the animal, you'll find it to be grayish white. Then you'll make out that this animal is blind. Yeah, the eye will be greyish white. That's how you determine the animal is blind.
Very useful information, alhamdulillah.
Okay. Then we continued from there, and a payment of the animal we did mention last week also.
Yes.
All right, people sometimes they don't pay for animals.
A lot of people found that very interesting, even by the masjid brothers were commenting, what happened to the 30,000?
Yeah, so the 30,000 then, lucky then eat the vet also. Okay, we move on now. Treatment of animals in your possession, the transporting of animals, feeding of animals, adequate ventilation, the dry area. Transporting of animals, I remember a few good years ago, there was one farmer, Muslim farmer, who transported animals in a truck. And because it was raining so heavily, he closed the windows. And when he got to his farm here in Lanesia, and he opened the windows for the animals to breathe, 100 animals died in that second. There was no ventilation in the truck. They just dropped dead. He lost 100 animals because there was no ventilation in the truck because of the rain. So we must be careful, this ventilation story. Allah make it easy for us, inshallah. Feeding of animals, we know in our farms and so on, they feed the animals. Now at the moment is drought, but we use this grass from the farms and so on. Make sure that you have plenty clean water for the animals. Like we human beings like to drink clean water, so animals also like to drink clean water. We should see that our water is changed regularly for animals to have. And then on my farm here, dry area. I remember one of the farms here in Indonesia a few years ago where I went to just check how the animals are and so on. It was also rainy season and the animals were standing in mud. About their whole sack, their legs were covered in mud. They were standing in there. They couldn't stand. They couldn't sleep. They couldn't lay because of the amount of water and mud there was. I got into there and I chased the animals up into another corral. It was drier than this one. So we should ensure that animals are looked after properly. One important factor I want to explain to you, Mufti, and to the listeners, is that Rasulullah ﷺ didn't only speak about physical torture to treatment or physical maltreatment to animals. He even spoke about psychological trauma to animals to this extent, where we sharpen the knife in front of the animal. That sound, that shk, 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 that thing traumatizes the animal terribly. He gets in such a scared state to that effect where the Shariat even says that it is one death Huh? When you cause animals to get so frightened, it's already one death. The other death is the slaughter of the animal. So we should avoid sharpening knife. In our abattoirs also, wherever we certify, our Sena abattoirs, the masbah is away from the sharpening area. It's not in the masbah itself, in the slaughter area. It's somewhere else where they sharpen the knives and they come and they do the slaughter in the area where they're supposed to.
Now we move on to the requisites of slaughter, and there are a number of aspects to cover in this regard.
This is a very interesting area. Even in abattoirs where we certify, if this area is not correct, then the whole abattoir cannot be correct. Because the animals are either, they die or whatever the case may be, there's the question of hurmat here, of animals getting into the category of haram. So I'd like to explain this to the listeners, where, let us say that we start off where we're taking the animal out of the kraal, for example. Okay. Now, first thing, before we take them out, we should ensure that our knives are sharp. I think I explained last week about the knives, how to sharpen the knives and so on. And the sizes of the knives should be proportionate to the animal you're going to slaughter. You can't use one small charcoal and cut a big neck of an ox with it. You should use about an 8 or 10 inch knife for bulls, 6 or 8 inch knife for sheep, and goats, of course. Okay. But they must be very, very sharp. You must be sure that they are sharp. You get here in lands, some of our butchers here, like Shanawaz and these guys, they do this sharpening of knives. In town also, in Portsmouth and all, city saw sharpeners all. This is just to help people to know where to sharpen their knives. We should do this in this week finish. Because there's a pileup of knives at the butchers and so on, these people who do sharpening, and they just can't manage with that. We should go now and get it done already. So we got our knife sharp. When we have that knife, we should put it into a sort of a leather packing or something, so that children don't touch it and they cut themselves badly. I know some people cut because of this sharp knives that they touch on those knives. Those knives are, I remember in abattoirs also, the knives were so sharp, you can cut the hair on your hand here. So sharp those knives are. Any small incision also gives you a massive cut, massive wound. So sharp those knives are. Anyway, alright, we pull the sheep out of the kraal. We have the knife with us already. And now when we are going to slaughter that animal for qurbani, we should read out that inna salati wa nusuki, those ayats, inna wajahtu wajha lilladhi, all those ayats that are pertaining to qurbani. We should read them while we are laying the animal down. We shouldn't put the animal down and now start our reading. At Darul Uloom also a few years ago, a sheep was put on the floor by the spam there. And the one was saying, where's Ahmad? They went to look for their son about 8-10 minutes. They found him and they brought him. Now the father is saying, now read the takbir. I think that takbir was as long as maybe Tarawih. Huh? So long that takbir was. And that poor animal is laying on the floor all the time. We shouldn't do that. Immediately when we bring the animal down, we should be ready to do the slaughter as soon as it goes down. Alright, I don't know if I mentioned last week about the facing of the Qibla. The facing of the Qibla is mustahab. It is not compulsory. Like for example, if you put in down a bull, now in the madrasa we have those proper restraining box and so on. But where people drop bulls with ropes and all in the yard, immediately when that bull is down, they should slaughter that bull, whether it's facing Qibla or not. Because it is mustahab to face the Qibla.
When you talk of facing Qibla, what part of the body must face Qibla?
The length of the animal should face Qibla, and you also facing Qibla. In other words, the legs shouldn't face Qibla, the body should face Qibla. The body itself should face Qibla. Now you're standing in such a way, your body is also facing Qibla, and that's the way you slaughter the animal. Not the other way around, where you put the animal sideways. It should be lengthwise. Animal should be lengthwise. And then we are ready to face it. Of course, if you got 8 or 10 lambs or so, and you feel you want to do it in your yard, then of course you make your traps, your trenches and all, facing Qibla, no problem. But if you bring down that bull or some animal that's wild, we should put it down immediately and do the slaughter. Okay, now as far as the slaughter is concerned, we should read after that niyat that we made and we put down the animal, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar is most important. The Holy Quran says, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمِ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمِ عَلَيْهِ. Eat that on which Allah Ta'ala's name is mentioned, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا and do not eat that one which Allah Ta'ala's name is not mentioned. In the Kitabs of Fiqh, they also talked about this. وَإِنْ تَرَكَ الثَّابِيُ تَسْمِيَةَ أَمَدًا فَذِبَيْتُ مَيْتَةٌ. If you, this is from Kuduri and from Hidayah, I'm quoting now. Okay. If you put, the slaughterer, the Zabi himself, if he intentionally leaves out the Tasmiyah, then that Zabiha is not halal. Okay? فَذِبَيْتُ to مَيْتَةٌ. وَإِنْ تَرَكَ نَاسِيًا أُكِلَ. And if it's left out, forgetfully, a human being can forget. Then you can eat that animal. Okay? And now you did your tasmiyah, you're slaughtering the animal. If you got those merino sheep with a lot of wool here by the neck, you should try and part the wool slightly for easier slaughtering. But sometimes that wool comes in a way. So we part the wool slightly and we put a knife in there and we slaughter. The Dorapas, the ones with the black heads and so on, those are easy to cut. Then of course the bulls. If you're going to put down a bull, you must make sure you pull the skin tightly a little bit by the neck to make the slaughter easy for you. Okay? So now your knife is passed through the neck. Now in the Kitabs of Fiqh they talk about Al-Uruku Lati Tuktu Zakati Arba'atun Al-Hulqun Wal-Mari Wal-Wadajan. Right? The one is, the four vessels should be severed. Some people say you must cut 2.5 times. Some people say you must cut 3 times. I haven't seen this in the Kitabs of Fiqh. I see how many vessels have to be severed. So whether it takes you in one stroke, whether it takes you in 3 strokes, that's not the thing. The thing is, the 4 vessels have to be severed. The windpipe should be cut, that's the one in front. Then behind it is the walmari, the food pipe, the red one. People should take notice of this because they do qurbani once a year. Alhamdulillah, in abattoirs we saw through the years, alhamdulillah, many, many, many animals being slaughtered. So they should observe the windpipe severed, the food pipe behind it, all with the jan and the 2 blood vessels have to be severed. Now, alhamdulillah, our shariat is so fine that purification in our deen is such that for zakat, for our wealth, we take out zakat to purify the wealth. Right? If you are going to purify your body, you do wuzu and ghusl. Right? If you purify the ground, in Hidayah they talk zakatul ardi yubsuha. The purification of the ground is its dryness. There's some napaki on it and so on, and the sun beats on it and removes all the napaki from there, the impurities. That ground is now pak. Yubsuha, the dryness of the ground is a purification of that. Alhamdulillah, as far as the carcass is concerned, okay, the purification of the carcass is thus. In Hidayah they say, yatamayzu daman najis min Allah mitayr. Yatamayzu daman najis min Allah mitayr. This type of slaughter, of slaughtering the blood vessels, separates the unclean blood from the pure meat.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. So the unclean blood, daman najis, the unclean blood, min Allah mitayr, from the clean meat. So you get a clean carcass with all the blood removed. Huh? Okay. So now the blood has been removed. All the muck comes out from the throat and the food pipe. Your carcass is now ready for your human consumption. Okay. Now, signs of life in the animal. Before you do the skinning. We mustn't be in a hurry and say, hey, I'm going to have my kalaji and all that to make quick, you know. Now, while the animal is still moving, we already want to skin it. No. We wait for signs of life as such. When we do dars in the office also, when the ulama come to learn there, we teach them. Signs of life is kicking of the legs, moving of the eyes, the breath of the animal, the chest moving, the legs moving, tail moving. All those are signs of life. Okay. But finer than that, I learned in the Saturday Abattoir those years, is that the doctors taught us that the last sign of life, after that animal is already still now, he looks like he's dead, just slightly poke his eye. If he flinches, he's still alive. Because it's a sensitive part, you see the eye. If you give it a slight poke and it flinches, you must know he's still alive. If he doesn't flinch, if he just stays like that when you poke it, you must know now the animal is dead and ready for skinning.
think it's a very important point, especially for those who do hunting and they shoot the animal and they chase the animal and they come there after 3 minutes or 2 minutes and then they don't know, is it alive or is it dead or what?
Right,
so this is a useful point that people can use.
And you're talking about hunting, Mufti, a very important point I want to bring out in hunting and domesticated slaughter. The Kitab al-Sayyid speaks about one thing and Kitab al-Zawai speaks about something else. Yet domesticated animals, if you take two animals in front of you and you take the tasmiyah on the one animal, Bismillah Allah, but and you cut the other animal, it's not halal. Because your tasmiyah is on the animal. But in the case of hunting, in Kitab al-Sayyid they teach you that if you are shooting an arrow, for example, and there's five animals there, your Bismillah Allah, but is on the arrow, the ala, whatever ala you're using, the instrument you're using for getting to the animal, right? That tasmiyah is on the ala and not on the animal. So you get whatever animal you get, that will be considered to be okay. That's just a point.
There's a difference of various aspects of fiqh.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Now your animal is dead. It's not moving anymore. Now you're telling the skinner, okay, you must skin now the animal. Make a price with him. Don't let him skin the animal and he's thinking in his mind, how much am I going to get? And you give him 5 rand. He must be thinking, yeah, I wanted 20 rand or 25 rand. You know? That is, in the Kitabs of Fiqh also, they talk about Mufdi ila Niza'. It leads to arguments and quarrels. It leads to arguments and quarrels. You make a price with him, you fix a price with him, he tells you, okay, 20 rand, you agree with him, let him skin the animal. Now when he skins the animal, you must make sure that he doesn't nick the skin. You know, make holes in the skin because it's now taking the skin off. I'll tell you why. That skin is sold and the money is given to the poor. Right? Now, if you nick the skin, you'll get 2 rand or 3 rand because the skin is damaged. But if you remove the skin in such a way where there's no holes or a knife like it's cuts in there, you'll get up to, now in this time, what, 40 rand, 45 rand for the skin. And that money is a benefit for the poor. Okay? Now when the skin is removed, you've got a carcass in front of you. Some people say Qurbani animal smell. We should wash that carcass. Take a bucket of water or take a hose, wash inside, wash outside. Of course now the offal must be taken out. I forgot about that. In abattoir terms they call it red offal. That's the lungs, heart and the liver. That's on the top of the body, of the carcass. You remove that and you can't use that as payment to the skinner. You can hadiyat and you only give him a present with that, no problem, but you can't use it as payment, okay? Right, the red offal is on top, and the dirty offal is at the bottom, where the stomach and the intestines and all comes out. You remove all that, right? Then you wash the carcass, like I said now.
Yes.
Now you get a clean carcass. Now what a fault our people make, they take this and they put it in the fridge. When you pack it flat, the air doesn't go, and the cold doesn't go in between the carcass. So that carcass goes off. One way of getting the carcass off. Another way is that we take the carcass and we put it in a plastic bag. And we tie it up. Now that hot carcass is going into a plastic bag.
Yeah.
It causes for that animal to go, that carcass to smell. So that shouldn't be also, we should try and avoid using a plastic bag for the carcass.
I see Ijaz is waiting to do his segment. We can round up maybe in the next 1 or 2 minutes.
Okay, sure. There's so many, I think this subject and practicalities of Qurbani, we can go on another hour, alhamdulillah. But anyway, as long as the people benefit to whatever extent we are doing this program, alhamdulillah. And Allah make easy for all, the Qurbanis go well for everybody, inshallah. Okay, then we should leave the carcass for a day or two, if you can, in a butcher's fridge or something, or in your yard. I mean, I'm not in your yard. In this time of crime, I think your sheep will be gone. You should put it in your garage or so, hang it. But hang the carcass. Let it hang. Don't leave it horizontal. Don't leave it on the floor or put it on a table or so. Hang those carcasses. So then from there, we have the carcass sliced. Then, of course, it is mustahab to give the poor 1/3, for yourself 1/3, and for the family 1/3. But remember the poor. Inna li kulli shay'in miftahun wa miftahul jannati hubbul masakin. Rasulullah SAW teaches us, verily for everything there is a key, and a key to paradise is love for the poor. So ensure to do that, and make dua for us at the madrasa also. A lot of work to be done, And alhamdulillah, the young ulama now they learnt already, you know, from our guidance and so on. And quite a few of the Qurbani places that are doing now, alhamdulillah, they grew up in Akralswat. My darling great friend, Marana Yaqub Rahmatullahi, and then of course 2 years ago, Marana Ganji passed away. So I'm the Baki Billah.
Last man standing.
Namaz, last man standing.
Allah accept, and, accept all your khidmat for the madrasa as well as, you know, in the Qurbani. And may Allah make it a successful endeavor for one and all, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. All the best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.